It is good to be with you once again on this wonderful July weekend. I'm so happy you can come. If you only knew who you were, if you only realized who you really were, what you were, who you are right now, who you've always been, it would make all the fireworks seem like nothing. If you realize your real nature, all of the gods and goddesses would bow to you, would pay homage to you, would worship you, would come to your aid. Krishna, Vishnu, Shiva, Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, all of the saints throughout the ages would come to you, would bow to you. When you understand that you are the self, the imperishable self, the absolute reality, then you realize that all of these things, the goddesses, the gods, comes from your mind. You are the one. Everything, everyone is a part of you. When you do not understand your divine nature, you think you are a frail human being and you worship many gods and goddesses. You pay homage to saints, sages. But when you understand who you are, everything changes. You become all pervasive, infinite like the sky. You are the universe. You are that which has always been. Do not believe what the world tells you, what the newspapers tell you, what the TV tells you. Separate yourself from all these things. Become free from attachment. The world in itself is neither good nor bad. It is an appearance. You can play in the universe, you can suffer in the universe. It's all how you see it. Do not react to it. Whether you are going through good times or bad times, they're both impostures. Look to yourself. You are the one. Everything the senses behold is of the mind. And there is no mind. The mind never existed. Therefore, who are you? There are no words to describe who you are. For if I use words to describe it, you would not be that. You are beyond words and thoughts. Beyond gods and goddesses. Beyond everything and anything that you can ever think about. Love yourself. When you love yourself, you love the whole universe. Do not think about the world and all of its manifestations. Think of the self, the one reality, the pure awareness, the Satchitananda. You are that. Free. Forget about the past. It never existed. And it cannot hurt you. Forget about karma, samskaras, samsara. Those things are all of the mind. And remember, the mind doesn't exist. You are ever so free, so bright and shining. Yet what do you think about yourself? What do you believe about yourself? Ponder this. Look at all of the years that have gone by. When you've looked at yourself as a person, going through experiences, you've been taught in spiritual life that you have to suffer, work out your karma, go through several experiences in several lives, hundreds of lives, thousands of lives. Yet to whom does karma exist? To whom does suffering exist? To whom does the world exist? Only to no mind. When you can come to the conclusion yourself that there is no mind, there never was a mind, there never will be a mind, you will see who suffers. No one. All is well. There are no mistakes. You are in your right place, right now. When I say you are in your right place, do nothing about where you appear to be. Whether rich or poor, sick or healthy, sad or happy, this is not your right place. Your right place is devoid of all of these things. Your right place is boundless space. Choiceless awareness. You are the God that you've always been looking for. You and you alone are the sage and the saint and the awakened being that you've been striving to attain. You are that right now. This is your right place. And there is no other place. Yet you say the world appears. Conditions appear, situations appear. I ask you again, to whom do they appear? To your so-called ego, to your mind. But in truth, you have no ego and you have no mind. Therefore, nothing appears. It is said that Brahman appears as the world. God appears as the world. Yet why would Brahman, God, want to do this? To appear as the world? The truth is, there is only Brahman, the absolute reality. There is no world. Yet you say, I experience the world every day. How can you tell me there's no world? To understand this, you have to go back to the dream experience. When you have a dream, good or bad, as far as you're concerned, this is reality. The dream is your reality, no matter what it is. And no matter who in the dream tells you that this is not the real world, you will argue with them. You will say, yes, this is real, I'm going through this experience here. I'm getting married. My whole family is here. Hundreds of guests. There's a big reception going on. How can you tell me this is a dream? I'll even pinch you and show you that this is not a dream. Yet, this is a dream pinch. The whole thing is a dream. And even though you do not believe it, you awaken, it's gone. The question is, where did it come from to begin with? Where did it go? Was it external from you? It was not external. If it was external, you would have a battle on your hands to overcome the dream world. But the dream came out of your mind. It is your creation, so it appears. But if it were a real creation, it would last. It wouldn't vanish when you were awakened. Now take this world. Most of you here would argue with me that you were telling me the world is real because I see it, I feel it, I go through certain experiences. Yet you do the same thing in your dream. There's no difference. You would argue with me here just like you would argue with me in the dream. You can walk over right now and pinch me and I would feel it. But this is all part of the dream. Therefore, you have to inquire within yourself. If the dream world is a dream, if the real world is a dream, so to speak, then who am I? Where did I come from? What am I? There is no answer to this question. For the answer is an experience. The answer is an awakening. The answer is liberation. The answer is realization. The finite mind cannot comprehend this. So all the words we use are fruitless. All of my talking is a waste of time. Everything I say is nonsense. For you are merely listening to words. What good do the words do you? You will leave when I'm finished and go home and continue your life as it's always been. And you will either say, that was a nice talk, or I don't believe a word he said. But where will you be? In the same old place. In the same old Maya. Playing your games, going through your experiences that you always go through, saying this is good and this is bad, this is right and this is wrong, this I like and this I hate, of this I'm afraid, of this I'm not afraid, and all of your prejudices, all of your obnoxious living, all of the things of this world will be carried on your shoulders. Some of you will believe you have to bring peace to this world, and you join peace organizations. This is commendable to an extent. But it's virtually impossible to bring peace to the world. You cannot. Has anyone ever brought peace to the world? The only way you can bring peace to this world is through awakening. As you awaken yourself, you will see you are the self of the universe. The whole world is your projection. It is you who caused the homeless and man's inhumanity to man and the dastardly things that go on in this world. Where else would they come from if not out of you? Otherwise they would just appear. But remember, nothing is external. everything that happens is a part of you. You are the one. Find yourself. Look to yourself. Dive deeper, deeper within yourself. Try to understand who you are by diving deeper within yourself. Do not look to man. Do not look to the universe, not look to things. Look to yourself. Only you can know yourself. No one can really help you. In the last analysis, you have to give up all the reactions to this world. When you're enjoying yourself in this world, when you're having problems with the world, you have to look at it as a dream, as something that appears. Surrender yourself totally. How do you surrender yourself? By letting go. Letting go of all the concepts. Letting go of all the ideas. Letting go of the beliefs. Letting go of all your prejudices, all of your emotions. Just drop it. If you can do this, all of your sadhana, all of your meditation, all of your prayers are no longer necessary. To whom are you praying? What is the meditation doing for you? If it makes the mind still and quiet, that's good. Yet if you simply awaken to your true nature, to your swarupa, there's no need for meditation, there's no need for prayer, there's no need for anything. If you live in the moment spontaneously, and hold on to the truth. The truth being, I am Brahman. I am the Absolute Reality. I am Nirvana. I am that. Ponder these things. You have never been what you appear to be. The sky appears blue, but upon investigation you will find out there's no sky and there's no blue. The snake appears as a rope. The rope appears as a snake. Upon investigation, you will realize there's no snake. It's only a rope. The woods appears in the mirage. Upon investigation, you will find there's no water. In the same way, you appear as a body. You appear as a mortal. But upon investigation, you will find that you are not a body. You are not mortal. You are beyond mortality. You are beyond anything that you can think about. You are beyond all concepts, all ideas. Consequently, the best course for you is silence. There's absolutely nothing to debate. There's really nothing to think about. There's nothing to argue about. In the silence, everything will be revealed to you. All you really have to do is to keep still. I know that's hard for some of you. For you keep chattering away all your life. Yet if you would learn to keep still, you would make tremendous spiritual progress. Feel the stillness within you. When your mind begins to think, stop it. Catch it. Put an end to it. Many of you are still under the impression that you come to hear lectures, talks, let me ask you, how many lectures, how many talks have you been to all of your life? And what has it done for you? It simply adds more confusion. Always remember what you're trying to do. You're not trying to add more knowledge to your ignorance. You're trying to empty yourself of all your knowledge, all of your ignorance, everything that you've accumulated. want it to become empty. Yet most people seem to go to different teachers, read many books, and they add on. They keep adding. Yet the day must come in your life when you stand naked before God, so to speak. When you have no crutches to hold on to. All the books are gone. There are no more teachers for you. There's no one to ask for help. There's no one to ask if you're on the right path. And it is then that your sadhana actually begins. Ponder this very well. Your sadhana, your spiritual practice, does not begin when you've gone to many teachers and you've read many books. It actually begins when you give up everything. That's when real sadhana begins. When you have surrendered everything. When you've emptied yourself of all knowledge, all desires for liberation. When you have become an empty shell. Then your spiritual life begins. Until that time, you're only playing games with yourself. You and I know so many people who can recite scriptures backwards and frontwards, quotations from everybody on this earth. They're walking encyclopedias. But do they have moksha? Do they have liberation? How can you? When you're so filled up with garbage. When you have no one to turn to, nothing to read, you will turn within yourself. And you will begin to inquire within yourself. Who needs to read all these books? Who needs to go to all these teachers? Who needs to ask other people for help? Who am I? What is the source of the I? What am I? Remember, you're asking yourself all of this. Where did I come from? Where was I before I was born? Where do I go after so-called death? What is the purpose of life? All of these answers are within yourself. Yet there are very few of us who are sincere enough to completely let go of everything. We're afraid to do this. We think if we let go, we'll turn into a vegetable. We will lose our friends, our families. We will become worthless. Nothing can be further from the truth. Your real self is no thing at all. The real you is nothing. I use the term nothing here so you know that it's not something. It is nothing. You come from nothing and you're going back to nothing. Absolute nothingness is your real nature. Rejoice. Ponder these things. I'll play Stump the Guru. We have written questions in the basket, I think. I forgot to pass the basket around. Thank you. We have a couple of questions in it.
Why do you use the word refuse as in as long as you refuse to awaken? Because refuse seems to me a deliberate action and no one is doing this knowingly, deliberately.
It's a semantical term. What difference does it make with what I use? Refuse, don't want to. It's all the same. What I really mean is you are more eager to play in the world of attachment than you want to let go. This is what I'm talking about when I use the word refuse. You have a choice. As a matter of fact, it's the only choice you really have. Everything else is preordained. You have the choice to either surrender, let go, and dive deep within the self, or not to do it and play in the world and get involved in things and places and people. The choice is yours. So once in a while I'll tell you, why do you refuse to let go? Why do you refuse to become enlightened? And you say, I'm not refusing to become enlightened. But take a look at your life. See what you're involved in. See what you're attached to. See how you're tied down in this world of Maya. the thing that you really believe about the world and people and places and things. Therefore, you refuse to let go. Again, it's only when you give it all up that something will happen to you. Not by adding to yourself. You don't need any more experiences. You want to free yourself from experiences. Become totally empty. Totally clear. And when you do, you will be free. Is there any question?
No, this isn't a question, Robert. I think someone just put a number of these in the basket, and it says, I realize that everything, excluding nothing, is nothing. I realize this in my heart.
Good.
Put a number of these in the basket.
Oh, is it?
Oh. You can put it in there, Fred.
Yeah.
All right. Fred put it in.
If you would like to ask a question, feel free to do so. Feel free to say anything. Make a loud noise. The I Am meditation is for everybody. You do not really have to be ready for it. It's a very simple thing for you to do. What you do is you relax, surrender your mind to the self by just letting go, watching your mind. You begin by sort of practicing Vipassana meditation. You observe your mind, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. You just watch for a couple of moments. And then you ask yourself the question, who is watching? Who is the witness? And you say, I am. With your respiration, you inhale, you say, I. You exhale, you say, am. What this does, it quiets the mind, makes you very peaceful, makes you go on to the next step. Makes you one-pointed. It's a very powerful meditation. It's for those people who wish to meditate. Whenever you meditate, there's an object of your meditation. Either a sage or a saint or a guru or a flower or a mountain or a blade of grass or a candle. Meditation always needs a subject and an object. Yet the highest form of meditation is the I Am meditation. Because I Am is the first name of God. I Am that I Am. Consequently, when you practice I Am meditation, you become very quiet and peaceful, and wonderful things ensue.